Hello, I want to welcome you to my broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you're having a blessed and wonderful day of the Lord, that you have your eyes upon Jesus, that you're not fearful and you're not afraid, knowing that He takes care of His own. Today, I encourage you that if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that right now you give your heart to Him, that God will give you revelation knowledge to know that you must be born again, and that the only way into God the Father is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk to you about choices we make, good and bad choices. And I know that if you'll stay tuned, the broadcast and the Word of God will bless your heart. But first, I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for all my faithful listeners and all the ones that you sent. I know it's no accident that they've tuned in today, that you have a purpose and a reason for us coming together. I ask that you take your Word and touch hearts and lift people up. I know there are many under the sound of my voice, Father, that are hurting. They need help, and I ask that you send them the help they need. Send them encouragement. Bring in their children, their grandchildren, Lord. Bring a revival to their land and to their houses and to their churches. And, Lord, I pray for our nation, and I ask that you bless our nation, God. Bring America, Lord, through this time that we're going through. And God, we pray for the leaders of our country. We pray for Israel, Lord. Ask that your hand be upon us all, Lord, in this hour. Help us not to turn our backs on you or to walk away from your word. And I pray, God, open up your word today and feed us with manna from above. We know that you hear and you answer prayer. And I ask that you bless these broadcasts that I may be able to stay on the air, that you'll send in what needs to be sent in, that you'll bless, oh God, I pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to read out of Mark chapter 10, and I want to start with verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away aggrieved, for he had great possession. In this portion of Scripture, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he wanted to inherit eternal life. He wanted to know how to have eternal life. And the Lord named the commandments. And he said, I've kept these. And then Jesus looked at him, and he said, one thing you're lacking. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says that he couldn't do that. He went away sorrowfully because he had a lot of possession. He had great possession. He was a wealthy man. You see, you've got to realize today, and Jesus told him, he said, if you want to have treasure in heaven, this is what you got to do. If you want to have eternal life, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus hadn't been crucified then, but the cross meant that to forsake yourself and follow that which God has called you to do. And this young ruler, he had mentioned some of the things that he had done, and no doubt he kept these commandments the best he could. But the Bible says if you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. And then the Lord told him, he said, now one thing you're lacking, your money. Your money has become what Jesus was telling him here. Your money has become your God. And he was willing to do these things, but he didn't want to give up his money. You know, it's all right to have money as long as money don't have you. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. The love of it. And this young ruler, he loved it. He turned away. He made a choice that day. Jesus gave him a choice. He said, now if you want to have eternal life, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Take your goods, sell it, and give it to the poor. And come and follow me. Take up your cross. And the rich young ruler, he couldn't do it. He went away sorrowfully because he chose the riches of the world was greater treasure to him than to have treasure in heaven. Every day, I meet people who have chosen the riches and the treasures of the world that will soon fade away, that will soon be devalued, that will soon rust, that will soon be cankered, that will soon be passed away, than to inherit and receive treasures of heaven. You see, where your heart is where your treasure is. And that young man's treasure was not in heaven because his heart was not there. His heart was in his earthly possession. A lot of you today, you have lived your whole life to gain earthly possession. And it's nothing wrong. It's commendable that you would work and try to have nice things for you and your family. But have you let things and worldly treasure keep you from serving God and doing God's will? Have you put everything ahead of God? So many times I see people, they don't have time for God. They've got to go here. They've got to do this. If you've left Him out, you don't really have life. You don't have treasure. You don't have wealth. You know, he made a bad choice that day. And Jesus told him, he said, listen, you've got to realize that the treasure of this world is not what is important. It's for your treasure in heaven. He made a bad choice that day, and he walked away sorrowfully. A lot of you have walked away sorrowfully, and many times God has dealt with you to give your heart and life to him. But because you put him off to a more convenient season, you've walked away sorrowfully. And the choice that you make will not only affect your life, but all of your family and all the ones around you. You have to realize that you're not an island by yourself. So many times I've had people say they were doing things, and they said, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. But that's a lie hatched in hell. No matter what you do, you affect others around you. You have an effect on everybody around you. You have an effect on your children, on people around you, your workplace, your nation, your country. The choices we make have an effect. And you know, as I was reading the scripture, I thought about Adam and Eve. They were told they could eat of all the fruit of the trees in the Garden of Eden except for the one, the tree of good and evil. They were told to leave that alone. But they let their appetite choose for them. And they chose to disobey God. And they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, sin came in. And because of their initial sin, man was born with Adamic nature. Because they let their appetite choose for them, sin dominated their whole life, and because of that, even today we're affected. Your appetite, if you let your appetite for sin against God and His commandments, you're going to affect your whole household, yourself, and everything around you. They were run out of the garden. They had to toil the land by the sweat of their brow. They were cursed from that day because they had disobeyed God. Even in the cool of the evening, the Lord came down and gave them an opportunity to repent, but they wouldn't do it. They let their appetite choose for them. I see people today, you let your appetite for drugs. You let your appetite for immorality. You let your appetite for alcohol. You let your appetite for adultery. All kind of appetites you had, you let it choose for you. And you have a disaster in your life. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. And it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. Be careful of what you let your appetite pick for you. Adam and Eve, because of the sin that they committed, and because they let their appetite choose for them, they had a harvest to reap, and you're going to reap what you've sown. The choices that you make is going to determine the harvest that comes in your life. And then I think about their son, Cain. Cain and Abel made a sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice was rejected because it was not a blood sacrifice. And the Lord came to him and he said, listen, your countenance, why is your countenance fallen? I told you your sacrifice wasn't right. And now Cain got all huffy and all pouty and had a down-looking countenance. And God came to him and said, listen, you better deal with your attitude, Cain. Your attitude is not good. You need to receive correction. And sin is at your door. You need to get up and handle your attitude. But Cain let his attitude choose for him. He would not receive the word that God gave him directly to deal with his attitude. And the next day the Bible says he got up, met his brother Abel in the field, and killed him. The first murder in the Bible. He let his attitude choose for him, and he reaped the rest of the days of his life of what he had done. He was a marked man until the day he died, and the Lord cursed the earth because of what he had done in his life and made him a vagabond. He traveled from place to place to place to place. He could never be still because he let his attitude choose for him. I'm talking to a lot of you right now. You've let your attitudes choose for you. You wouldn't deal with your countenance and your anybody correct you or anybody try to talk to you and tell you something. You get all huffy and mad. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. And listen, sin's at your door, and you're going to let your attitude choose for you. And the first thing you know, you're going to rise up and do something you wish you hadn't done. How many are in prisons and jails today because they let their attitude choose for them? They let their appetites choose for them, got them in a world of trouble, and now they're pulling time because they let and made the wrong choices because they did not choose with the obedience of God, but they let their attitude and their appetite choose for them, and now they're paying for what they chose. There's a payday someday, and you're choosing what it's going to be. I'm choosing what my payday's going to be. Eternity is a long time to choose the wrong thing. I don't want to choose hell. I've chosen heaven. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I beg you to do the same thing. Choose the right thing. Cain let his attitude choose, and because of that, he murdered his brother, and his blood was spilled upon the ground. He chose the wrong thing. I think about the people in Noah's generation. The Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached, the Bible says, 120 years he preached, and maybe even longer than that. And he built the ark. The evidence of God's judgment was before them. The evidence of God's judgment was before Noah's generation. And they rejected righteous preaching, the right way of living preaching. And then one day the door of the ark was shut, the rains began to come, the judgment of God came, and they lost their lives because they chose not to choose the right way of living, the righteous way. They didn't want to hear about righteousness. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, in the last days it would be like it was in the days of Noah. Same thing. We're seeing today. The evidence of God's judgment, we're seeing it every day. Just like they saw in Noah's day, the ark going up, it was the evidence of judgment to come, but it was also evidence of salvation if they would enter into God's will. Same thing today. Evidence of God's judgment is showing in our country, but the evidence of God's salvation is being given if those will go in it and receive it. God has an ark of safety for you and me, and His name is Jesus. There's no other way into God the Father except through His Son, Jesus Christ. But they chose, Noah's generation chose not to receive the preaching of righteousness. They would not repent. The Bible says that their thoughts and their imagination was evil continually. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said in the last days, that's exactly how man's going to be. You can hardly watch any program on TV. I'm down to watching The Lone Ranger and Mayberry. I'm down to watching Madlock. Very few things left on TV that you can watch that every imagination and everything is not murder and hacking up people and the walking dead and zombies and murder and horrible things. And it's continually, it's a steady stream coming all the time, just like it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be the choice that you make. The choice that I make is how this thing is going to end up for you and me. The choice that we make. You're either going to choose the preaching of righteousness, or you're going to choose and to reject it and to choose that which is evil continually. That's what you're going to reap. They were destroyed. They were wiped off the face of the earth because they were causing. And if they'd left to go on, they would have destroyed one another, and only the Lord knows if He hadn't stopped it, what it would have turned out to be. What about today? I truly believe that our country if we do not turn around, if we do not repent as a nation, I feel the waters of judgment coming upon us swiftly. I feel the door beginning to shut when the rapture takes place and the Christians are taken out. Are you ready to go through the times that are coming of the great tribulation time? If you can't choose Jesus now, do you really think you can choose him during the tribulation time, when if you do, you'll lose your life for it? And if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell, you can't live. And if you take the mark of the beast, you're doomed for hell. Do you really want to choose that? Or do you really want to choose to be right with Jesus now, be ready when that time comes? I think about Judas. He walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He heard the teachings. He witnessed the life of Christ and what Christ did for others. But he chose to reject and betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He chose it. And the life he chose ended up in a horrible destruction in his own life. He took his own life. Why? He chose to reject Jesus Christ and the love of God. He chose it. It was not enforced upon him. It was not predestined. That was a life he chose. So with you and so with me. There are many of you under the sound of my voice. You've set up in church all of your life. You've heard preaching. You can quote scripture. You can tell the Bible stories. But you choose not to live the life. When you hear the word of God, you can't just hear it. You got to hear it with the intent to obey it. Let me repeat that. When you hear the word of God, you can't just hear it. The Bible says you got to be not just hearers, but doers of the word also. You got to hear it with the intent to obey it. You got to obey the word of God. Walk in it. Just don't sit up in church and think because you spent 30 minutes listening to a preacher preach it, it's all right. You got to live the life. You've got to walk it. You've got to live that life. You got to choose to walk in God's word. God's grace will help you do that. You can't do it by yourself. It's by the grace of God. And if you want it, if you choose it, God's grace will help you do it. But it's your choice. It's your choice. I pray you choose the right thing. But then I have to think about the ones that chose the right thing. I think about Moses. The Bible says that he chose to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy sin for a season. And he rejected the riches of Egypt and chose God's people. He chose that which was right. He chose that which was holy. He chose that which was righteous. He chose God's people. And he was blessed for it. And let me tell you something. That choice is before you and that choice is before me. You're going to choose to enjoy sin for a season. And I want you to know, sinner man, it's pleasures of sin. It's just for a season. It don't last. It may seem to be fun partying, but it leaves an empty void. You wake up sick to your heart, knowing you've done evil, knowing you've hurt people, knowing you're destroying your health and destroying your life and sending your soul to hell and taking others with you. It's a high price to pay. Oh, I pray today that you'll choose the right thing. Let the world go by and give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. In him is life. In him is joy. In him is everything that I need. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Choose the right thing. Jesus is the right choice. And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They chose the right thing. They chose to stand against evil. And they wouldn't bow down to a golden image. And they wouldn't serve a false god. And God blessed them for the choice that they made. And delivered them out of the fiery furnace. And promoted them. And changed the hearts of a nation and a king. Because they chose the right thing. I think about down in Egypt. 9 plagues had already come in Egypt. And on that 10th plague, the people had to choose whether or not they was going to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost as the death angel was getting ready to cross over the land. It was either we put the blood on the doorpost or we don't. And if we don't, the firstborn of every household would die. They chose to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And the ones that chose the blood were spared. But the ones that did not choose the blood was doomed. But let me tell you, when the blood was applied, that's when they marched out of Egypt. That broke the bondage. The blood of the Lamb broke the bondage. What happened in Egypt will happen in your life. I don't care what kind of bondage you're in right now. If you'll choose the blood of Jesus, let the blood of Jesus be applied to your bondage, whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is, whatever list you want to bring down, it will break that bondage. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, hasn't lost its power. It will deliver you, but you've got to choose to receive it. When you choose to receive it, God will freely give it to you. He said, I will in no wise cast no man out that comes to me. If you come with a repentant heart, he's not going to turn you away, but he'll receive you. He loves you today. He didn't come to condemn you, but he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Choose that life. Choose to have the blood of the Lamb. Choose to have it applied to your soul, that your sins will be washed away, never to be brought up against you ever again. When you die, you go into one or two places. If you've chosen Jesus and to be washed in the blood, when you breathe your last breath, you'll wake up in the arms of Jesus to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But if you choose to reject Jesus, you wake up in the presence of the demons of hell to be tormented throughout eternity. But it is your choice. No man can make it for you. Grandma can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Your preacher can't. Your priest can't pray you in, honey. It's got to be your choice. You yourself have to choose life or you choose death. The choice is yours. And I think about Zacharias when he climbed up in that sycamore because he wanted to see Jesus, wanted to see who he was. Jesus stopped under that tree and he called him down. You know, Jesus will never leave you treed. He'll never leave you up a tree. He called him down, and the Bible says that Zacharias came down and received him joyfully. He chose to receive Jesus joyfully. And Jesus said, today I'm going home with you. And everybody was astounded because Jesus went home with a sinner, man. That's why he came. He didn't come for the saved and the healed and the made whole. He came for those that were lost. He came for those that needed salvation. He came for the sinner man. He came for you and he came for me. Aren't you glad he did? And Zacharias said, today, if I've taken anything unjustly, see, he was a tax collector. He'd been a cheat. He said, if I've taken anything unjustly, he said, I'm going to return it fourfold and half of my goods. He said, I'm going to give it to the poor. I'm going to do what's right. You see, he chose Jesus. And when he chose Jesus, his heart was changed. He wasn't a thief and a liar and somebody that was evil to people. He had a change of heart because he chose the right way. He came down. He received Jesus joyfully. He took him into his home and he lived the life. That's what will happen to you and I when we choose the right thing. Choose Jesus. Came down. He received him joyfully. And then I think about Saul on the road of Damascus. Saul had got letters to go out and round up Christians and persecute them, throw them in jail, even cause some of them to be killed. But the Lord stopped him on the road of Damascus that day. A great light came down, and Saul was put in a position to choose. Would he choose to receive Jesus, whom he was persecuting? He was persecuting Jesus. He said, I'm the one that you're persecuting. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, it's hard for you to kick against my word. And Saul that day had to choose what he was going to do. And in his blindness, he was struck blind that day. And I love an old song that I heard many years ago. He said he couldn't see until he was struck blind. And he had to be prayed for that the scales would come off of his eyes. But that day, Saul, then being changed his name to Paul, chose to not persecute the children of God anymore. But he chose to live right. And to be one that would be persecuted, to be one that would suffer for the cause of Christ and do it joyfully and willfully because he chose the love of God. Let me tell you, today, You're on the road. Some of you are listening. You're traveling down the road. And right now you're having your Damascus Road experience. And I'm asking you, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose Jesus? Are you going to continue on in your hard-hearted ways and your sinful ways, denying that you need help, denying that you need a Savior? Or right now you're going to call on Jesus, choose Him today. It'll be the most important decision that we can ever make, is whether or not we're going to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some years ago, we were in revival in Meadows of Dan, Virginia. And that night when we came out of the church, the fog had came in on the mountain. And I tell you, you could not even see where your car was parked. And we had to come down off of that mountain. And the pastor, who had been pastor of that church for many, many years and been up and down that mountain untold hundreds of times, knew the roads like the back of his hand. And I looked at that pastor and I said, "Pastor, I'm following you down off of this mountain, and if you go over it, I'm going over it, or if you, whatever you do, I'm going to do, because I'm following your lights." I rode down that mountain all the way, and all I could see was the taillights of that car, but I stayed in the light, and I made it safely down. And I'm telling you, if you'll stay in the light, which is Jesus Christ, you won't stumble, you won't fall. And even if you do have hard times, He'll pick you up and help you. You won't utterly be cast down. You'll make it down safe, but you've got to stay in the light. But you've got to choose to stay in the light. I pray today that you'll choose to do the right thing. Do the right thing. And the right thing is to serve God. The right thing is to take your children to church. The right thing is to help your neighbor. The right thing is to serve God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your whole being. The right thing is to love Jesus with your whole heart. You can sum the Bible up from Genesis to Revelation with four words: Jesus died for me. That's the message. And if you miss that, you missed it all. Write me, let me pray for you. If you made a decision for Jesus, let me know. If you want to help me on my broadcast, I would appreciate it. And God bless you all. Visit me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. God bless you. I pray today, as for you and your house, you will choose to serve the Lord. Have a marvelous day in Jesus.